It was difficult for him to come to terms with his experience so soon after he'd come out of prison. He spent 4 years of his life behind bars, six of them in solitary confinement, the rest of it in a special protected wing where he was put in with the serious sex criminals, the child rapists, mafia members. It was a really horrific experience. So he wanted very badly to tell this story, but he also wasn't especially well equipped to dredge back into his memory and call up all everything in great detail. What became very helpful was we went through all the case files and made sure that everything was scrupulously documented, and that helped his memory come back. He ended up telling really vivid stories about exactly how awful it had been and also his reactions to every stage of the legal process and how outraged he was that someone like him, who if you meet him, he's really, you know, you can tell he wouldn't hurt a fly. He's a very gentle, sweet young man. How, you know, he was progressively depicted to be this devilish accomplice to Amanda Knox, who in turn was depicted as being some kind of depraved American she-devil. And the whole thing was, you know, colossally concocted from the beginning. It was fueled by the media. The prosecution became addicted to the coverage as much as it did to the evidence at hand. And the realities of the case, which is that this was a desperately sad but very simple break-in gone wrong, turned into a murder, all of that was overlooked. And these two young people who should never have been involved at all ended up paying very dearly for it.
We understand this has created quite a firestorm in Italy because it really says that the police and the prosecutor, they're not painted in a very flattering light here, and they arrested him and put him in solitary confinement even though there had been no evidence tied to the crime. So it sounds like he'd been kind of railroaded from the very beginning here.
That's right. And in Italy, I think, you know, people are very smart. They understood what was going on, but they're also afraid of the power of the prosecutor. Prosecutors in Italy are tremendously powerful. They're on a par with judges. And they really answer to no one but themselves. They're in a position to arrest people, to accuse them of libel, to put them in prison, even without charge. And so there's a very cowed response. So I think this book being published by a major American publisher is an opportunity to look at the case files to say this is the reality of what they did to these two young people. And it involved all kinds of, you know, strange and twisted things. One of the things that grabbed people's attention in Italy over the last couple of days is the existence or the attempted a back-channel communication with the prosecution. It became evident, according to the lawyers who spoke to Raffaele's family, that the prosecution themselves didn't really believe that Raffaele was guilty. They were just holding him and treating him so badly with one purpose in mind, which was to get him to turn on Amanda, change his testimony, and say either that he didn't know what she did the night of the murder or that he actively remembered her going out, and he refused to do that. And that was really the honorable stance that he took that ultimately set him free. But at a terrible cost, you know, he lost 4 years of his life for that principled stand.
Andrew, is Raffaele at all concerned about reaction in Italy to this book?
Well, I mean, the case has been through two levels of the criminal courts. It's got one more level to go, which is the High Court, which will look at, you know, essentially the procedural correctness of what's gone before. He and his family, I think, they're nervous, obviously, but they're mostly pretty confident that they will prevail there. And beyond that, you know, we were very careful in this book, he and I together, to base what we said on documentation, on what was on the record where we quoted the prosecutor. It was times when he had spoken in a context that was either official or it was in a recorded interview and we had access to the recording. So we really made sure that we just stated the facts as they were. And, you know, there's no need to embellish anything in this story. It's quite awful enough just relying on the things we know to be true and can demonstrate to be true.